It is Reformation Day. Again. The color is a festive red, used either for the commemoration of a saint or of an important church festival. I suppose today we might say it's both. So what are we commemorating or celebrating on Reformation Day? Well, most, if not all of us, would instantly point to the reforming work of Martin Luther more than 500 years ago. We began the service with his famous paraphrase of Psalm 46, "A Mighty Fortress." And I suppose we wouldn't even have such a thing as Reformation Day had it not been due to that historic theological revolution of the 1500s. But that's not because of this historic theologian named Luther. It is rather because of the awakening of faith that he experienced, inspired by God's word, specifically this one: "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." And at those words, the doors of heaven were opened to him. This was and is no mere religious opinion of man, but the very word of God. And that's important. God's self-revelation through the Apostle Paul as his inspired word. Therefore, it was and it is worth serious and deep study, meditation, and understanding. But that understanding comes only as God himself, the Holy Spirit, works through that word to reveal the truth. So today we say again in Jesus' words, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." God revealed the truth to Luther that the righteousness of God was not only God's wrath, as he constantly thought of it, his wrath against sin, always judging everything you do, but the righteousness of God is now in Jesus, his gift of the freedom of salvation through the forgiveness of sins, won by that all-availing blood of Christ shed on the cross as the supreme sacrifice, by which he takes away the sin of the world and restores life, righteousness, and salvation to all who believe. That was just as much of a righteous judgment and act as his wrath against sin in the first place. As the most fundamental teaching of the gospel, lesson number one, and because we still feebly struggle against sin and death, it hasn't lost its grip on us yet. This is not a mere matter of knowledge of certain facts, although there's an awful lot of facts about the Reformation, and it's hard to say that anyone's got it all figured out yet. It is more dynamic than that. Reformation is another word for daily repentance and faith, that living relationship with God through the living word in us. This is shown in the Reformation gospel today, where those who had begun to believe in Jesus stand in for the rest of us. The ignorance displayed by them to to whom he addressed these words. "The truth will set you free," said Jesus. The question is, free from what? What is enslaving you? That's the next question. To what are we enslaved that causes all the unhappiness, fear, contention, fighting, warfare, all of the horrendous deeds of sin we see around us every day on television with 24-hour coverage, or that fighting and warfare among and between us and God? They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." Oh, really? How embarrassing was that? How did they so conveniently forget what God had them recall and celebrate once a year, every year, in the Passover? The story of their enslavement to Pharaoh and God's call through Moses to let my people go is a matter of their very identity as God's people. Or shall we mention the time when they were enslaved in the Babylonian captivity? Or should we come to more modern times, to the era of the world wars, and even to yesterday? Maybe they entertained the thought, although few people were doing that yesterday, that they were enslaved, that those events were just a matter of bygone history that didn't really affect them anymore, personally, today. Oh, yeah? Same for us. Think of what happened to the unity and the patriotism, for instance, that instantly seemed to bind us all together after the terrorist attack of 9/11. And I dare say that lasted a whole week. Thumb through the history books telling of the atrocities and victories of past world wars. No, it wasn't just past historical events that enslave. It is that characteristic of the fallen, sinful human condition. There was even preaching by the main TV networks yesterday. They couldn't come up with anything except evil. That is at the root of every evil. It is that condition that still, by the way, lives in each of us. Maybe something that still doesn't cross our mind as we point to the events of yesterday and say, there is evil in the world. Yes, there is. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says very clearly, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. It's really got a hold of you. It's being set free from sin that is the fundamental issue of reformation, of repentance and faith. And that's what Jesus came to do, as he said so beautifully, right off the bat to his hometown folks. Remember when he read Isaiah, almost like it was his call document? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Same way St. Paul writes to the Galatians and to us and to the world, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We need to hear that. Specifically, because as long as we live in this world, we're in danger of just that, letting go of the word of the gospel and submitting again to a yoke of slavery, the slavery of sin. It follows us around every corner. Nowhere is this gospel of the freedom and deliverance from sin described as purely and plainly as in that document called the Augsburg Confession. You can ever read it as if you are making an evangelism call on somebody. It actually works that way. For this freedom starts with God, Article 1. It's got to start with God. For we can't free ourselves. It has to start with that full biblical revelation of the one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then it's got to describe, as Jesus does here today, the subject of sin, our need for God. It was the task of the Son of God to come down from heaven, to take on our human flesh and blood, and by his perfect life and atoning sacrifice, to pay the price for our sin, for us. The result, Article 4, is the justification of the sinner by God's grace through faith in Christ. And this happens in every generation. Where am I? Article 5, 6. Through the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments as through instruments. That's how it gets to us. To this day, like a giant funnel, taking everything that is from the cross through history and applying it right now to you and to me. It happens in every generation through the ministry of the teaching of the gospel and administering the sacraments as through instruments. The Holy Spirit is given, who works faith where and when it pleases God. I love that statement. Where and when it pleases, not when you decide, but it works faith where and when it pleases God in them that hear the gospel, to wit that God, not for our own merits, but for Christ's sake, justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. Do you believe you're received into grace for Christ's sake today? So no one can honestly say it is because we are offspring of Abraham or offspring of Luther that we can deny our enslavement to sin. That enslavement that can only be relieved and overcome by faith in the powerful salvation in Jesus. So it's good. It's good that we celebrate and commemorate Reformation Day again and again this year. For it's nothing but that fundamental reality of the first of Luther's 95 theses. Remember that? Say it with me. When our Lord and Savior, Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed that the entire life of believers be one of repentance. And that is true freedom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.